Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, this is Strange Jason from 6 Foot Plus. You're listening to See You Next Wednesday from ModernSuperior.com.
Welcome to episode 91 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on December 4th, 2013, and my name is Dan Gorman. Two people can live as cheap as one if one of you doesn't eat.
My name is Casey Lyons. Your Honor, this was an accident, plain and simple. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but case dismissed.
My name is Greg Legros, and the space goes down, down, baby, down, down the roller coaster, yeah. Sweet, sweet, baby, sweet, sweet, don't let me go. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock, shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock, ice cream, sundae, vanilla on top, ooh, Shalita, walking down the street, 10 times a week, I meant it, I said it, I stole my mama's credit, I'm cool, I'm hot, suck you in the stomach 3 more times.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Although you missed a line.
What line?
You didn't say nothing about no Triscuits.
Yeah, I met a girlfriend Triscuit. She said a Triscuit a biscuit.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Did I not say it?
I didn't hear
Triscuits.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But this is See You Next Wednesday. We got tons to talk about today. We rolled last week for Nebraska as the winner. And what was the loser? Netflix pick?
Mm-mm.
No. It was an equally excellent
Homefront.
Homefront. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah.
And they're going to talk about the album I made them listen to. We're going to roll for next week. We're going to get into the Airwolf Corner and Serial Hero Swap. Mm-hmm. But lots to talk about first. Super off the top, I'm going to say thanks to Jay Kretz for writing another iTunes review. You are awesome. And thanks to Courtney Small for tweeting at us about the weird baby in Twilight line last week. He found that particularly funny, so thank you for reaching out.
Yeah.
And more thanks. Thanks for everyone that came out to Video Vengeance on Sunday.
Hell yeah.
To watch Invasion
excellent
USA.
Time.
Mm-hmm. We ate a bunch of nachos, drank a bunch of beer, and watched like the best movie ever.
Fucking ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
That's a cool bar, too.
Yeah, Kitsch at Dufferin and Geary.
Dufferin and Geary. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even realize until I was leaving they have Street Fighter in the back.
Yes.
Video games.
So awesome. Good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was really fun. What did you guys had never seen Invasion USA.
No. And I don't know how.
I know.
Also because then I went home and had to read about it, and I read that it was MGM's second most highest-selling videotape behind Gone with the Wind, was it?
Which, yeah.
Well, that's insane.
I know.
Yeah, that's
until
amazing.
2007, that was the case.
It's got Chuck
I
Norris
know took the case, you know,
and
what
an armadillo.
Yeah.
So it's got everything any...
it doesn't seem like it's possible.
I know.
If you describe all the things that are in it.
Yeah.
Too good.
It's a movie called Invasion USA.
Yes.
And that's basically the sum up of the movie,
yeah.
Too. It's like they fucking went to pitch and they were like, okay, some guys invade the USA.
Where are they from?
What guys? just a bunch of guys. I'm spitballing here. Just some guys.
Some
they're like, fuck the script. Let's just go with that.
They're like, some of them will be Soviet. Some of them, not so much.
Yeah. There's going to be like 2 Asian guys. We don't know where they're from.
Yeah. What a fucking great movie. Richard Lynch in that movie is my one of my all-time favorite villains. Just eats that scenery up. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And he has the best finishing move. of any villain ever.
Oh, I loved it because the first time it happened, there's a scene at the beginning of this movie where Richard Lynch is doing a drug deal and there's a woman testing the cocaine, and then the two guys doing the drug deal get like really, it's Richard Lynch and like another guy, and they get like really tense and they're like, thanks for doing business with the other. Like, yeah, thanks. And it looks like they're going to like shake the hands, but then Richard Lynch shoves the girl's head down on the,
while coke she's snorting straw, go, and man. It goes right up into her nose, brain. Into her brain, and she's bleeding everywhere out of his straw, so coming out of her nose.
And then...
and then Richard Lynch throws her out the window.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But not before...
He grabs the other guy by his belt buckle and pulls his pants open and shoves his gun in there and just starts firing wildly.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
You turned around to where I was standing. You were like, put your arms up in the air silently. They're like, what?
He now shot the hell out of that guy's dick.
You'd think that in a movie, that would be the one time someone would get a dick shooting.
No.
Yeah. No, no.
No. That was just the beginning of the dick shooting
festivities. When he pulled it out again, he grabbed that other guy who said something he didn't like, and he's like, well, time to stick my gun in your pants and shoot your dick.
Yeah. That's my thing.
Oh, my God. Well, you got to have a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are people going to know it's you or take you seriously?
Yeah.
You know?
Because once you shoot two guys in the dick.
Yeah.
In the, in the pants.
In their own pants.
Yeah. He didn't even, like, aim at their dick.
In the privacy of their own pants, no less.
Then you're like, well, I'm not going to do cocaine with that guy.
No.
I'm not going to be mad at him.
I'm not going to wear pants around him.
I didn't know.
Try and shoot my dick off now.
I'm not even wearing pants, idiot.
Yeah, I love that movie. Mm. It's
so good.
I had no
good.
Idea what was going on at any given time.
No, if anybody can handwrite us a synopsis of what actually happens in this movie.
I know.
Because there are moments where Chuck Norris is arrested.
Yes.
For no reason.
No. And then he's on a roof.
And then he goes to the police station and then he leaves. Yeah, he's on a roof across town.
With a bazooka.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bazooka action in this movie. Mm-hmm. Way more bazooka action than you normally get in an action
like,
movie.
I feel like there were usually more bazookas than actual guns.
Yeah, you could usually get one solid bazooka shot out of an 80s action movie. There's a bunch of them.
There's a fucking bazooka face-off in this fucking thing.
From a seemingly automatic bazooka, because there's no reloading.
No,
at all. You can fire several missiles. Yes, these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, it's directed by Joseph Zito. He did... Friday the 13th, the part 4, the final chapter. It's wonderful. I was saying to Casey afterwards, for a movie that's like purports to be like Red Dawn, like this could happen, they're going to invade us, I was saying again to Casey, I was like, I feel like the people that made this movie, Aaron Norris, Chuck Norris, and Joseph Zito, like, hate America more than the terrorists in the movie. Because for a movie about people invading, like, I know they're trying to make it, like, hard-hitting and stuff, but they linger on the violence. Like, they are getting pleasure from...
It was definitely much more violent than the usual Chuck Norris movie.
Yeah.
And, like, more swearing and stuff like that. Generally, Chuck Norris movies are a lot of kicking, and the vehicles blow up as people jump off. And
right. They got a lot of A-team action.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually. Which is fine. Like, you know, the missing in action movies and stuff. Like, those are in Delta Force. They're great for what they are. But, like, this was a different chapter for Chuck. And I would say the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't have any whispering inner monologue like Octagon.
Like an Octagon.
But it's still... it's everything you want out of an action movie. They're a totally ludicrous plot. No character development.
No.
No character relationships of
There's
any kind.
There's one special character relationship in this movie, and that's between Chuck Norris and an armadillo that he thinks is dynamite.
Oh, I wish that it had been in the movie more, almost.
I know.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
He should have taken that armadillo everywhere.
Yeah. When the little armadillo is trying to get down the steps, and there's, like, just a 40-second shot
of him falling.
Of an armadillo trying to get down some steps, but, like, comically not being able to.
That's the thing, though. That is the only moment in the entire movie that has anything that is resembling human emotion in a positive regard towards something.
Yeah.
An armadillo knocks over milk, and he's like, God damn it, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it because that shot that Casey's talking about of it trying to get down the stairs is a heartwarming shot. Like, you're like, damn, that armadillo is cute.
It is cute as shit, but has nothing to do with
anyone. I know, but I love the idea of them, like, in the editing bay, like, having
I feel like it was like, we didn't kill the armadillo, like, you through this explosion.
Totally. But I just like that they're in this editing bay, and like they just finished like editing the scene where some Americans get fucking killed, and then everyone tramples their bodies, and you see like insert shots of them getting like trampled, mm-hmm. like horrifyingly. And then they're like, okay, now we got to work on this armadillo scene. Like, this is adorable. We got to keep this in.
Yeah. yeah. Just, and there is a what I guess you would call a female lead.
Sure.
Yeah. The reporter or photographer or just shrill woman who shows up and screams
Hey, sometimes she has a really big belt.
Yeah, that is true.
yeah, and
but that's really more of a character choice than
she's
anything.
At like true. Every scene of the crime taking photos, and you're like, this is going to lead up to something and possibly a romantic subplot because she keeps calling Chuck Norris cowboy.
Yeah.
Nope, they never do anything together.
But then when he
never does anything at all.
But then when he does like legit save her life, she's like, fuck you, cowboy, and slaps him and is all like, my dress is yellow.
very weird.
Yeah, I loved it. That movie's the best.
It is so fucking entertaining.
We will definitely be doing more Video Vengeance in the future.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone that came out.
Yeah.
That was wicked.
Next month, at the end of this is December now.
Yeah.
at the end of this month, we'll do one.
Yeah. Was one of the things that you wanted to talk about off the top, Greg, the movie you watched afterwards? Did you finish that?
I was so stuffed full of nachos and Boddingtons that I started watching The Great
Shake
Outdoors
Down.
And fell asleep immediately. Okay. Yeah. Was that the night I watched Great Outdoors? No, I went
Shakedown.
Home and watched Shakedown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did fall asleep.
Okay.
But I woke up for the end. Well, the roller coaster woke me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good movie, Shakedown.
I like that movie.
Yeah. You mean like 5 minutes in, I'm like, right on. Yeah. Okay, you know. Yeah. Well, there's a little more
Peter
Hendrix
Weller
than I can.
Fucking, and Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
What could be better?
Yeah.
That's the thing, is why it really works, is the two of them are great.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott's like this hard boiled cop who like lives in a bus station bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, it's
that hard boiled.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's directed by this guy, I think it's James Glickenhouse. He did The Exterminator, which is a fucking crazy awesome movie.
And it's also advertised in the movie as they're walking past movie theaters.
Yeah, I love that.
Both of his previous movies are on the
Exterminator
billboard.
And The Protector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like Jackie Chan's early foray into American filmmaking, and then he was like, nope. That didn't work at all.
See you in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. what else do we want to talk about off the top?
You wanted to talk about Paul Walker.
Yeah, I think we should at least say something.
Absolutely.
Paul Walker passed away. I saw an outpouring of action film fans on Twitter kind of just tweeting like, you know, he was in some great movies. He's not an actor that, in my opinion, is going to leave this legacy of, you know, influence on the craft of acting. But
no,
I loved some of his movies. I loved Joyride's great. I like that movie a lot.
And Running Scared is a good movie.
Running Scared, and then now Fast and Furious have kind of taken a turn where they, in my opinion, have become really awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? This franchise wouldn't have hung around if he hadn't kept with it.
No.
Because when they went for two, Vin Diesel's like, I'm out of here. I'm a movie star.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, there's a good story here. Let's keep... He kept it together, I think.
Totally.
Because if that second one hadn't been made or been successful, then you wouldn't have had this world they've created.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I was really shocked when I found out. And it's the more as the week has gone on, I think it was really just a huge bummer. Just terrible, you know. And he leaves behind a daughter and something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's
really
the sad
tragic.
Thing.
Just super tragic.
Yeah.
Like, I admit, I don't think I've seen any... I hadn't seen him in anything before I saw the Fast and the Furious movies, which I only saw recently. And just fucking was like, oh, my God, these movies are amazing.
If you haven't seen Joyride, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah. But yeah, and I also
it's called
Running
Joy
Scared.
Ride.
I mean, I kind of was like fuck that movie because it. I like the Billy Crystal Gregory Hines one.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, is it a remake?
No.
Oh. I just didn't like that it used the name. I'm like, just think of a name. Fuck off. but it's a really well put together little action movie. It's not going to blow your mind, but it's really steady, and he's fucking great in it.
And it's one of those movies that just throws it all in there. It's just
absolutely.
Like,
But like when it first started, when that the Fast and the Furious movies, when I started watching them, like, you know, I saw them the first time, I'm like, well, this guy's just a standard, you know, like just your standard action guy.
Yeah.
Like I don't really see that much crazy good stuff coming from.
Yeah.
But as I started watching more and more of those movies, I'm like, no, this guy definitely has a place.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I feel like he would have slowly, but would have really amounted to something different than his career ended as.
Yeah.
Which is nothing to be ashamed of. It's great. He made some super fun movies.
Totally.
But I feel like he could have done something.
You never know.
Pretty sad.
Yeah. Very good stage presence or film presence, you know?
Yeah. And I just kind of also wanted to mention that I saw a lot of that, like, celebrity death blowback where people are like, you, like people, trolls on Twitter or whatever, just being like, oh, nobody cared about this dude and now he's dead and now all of a sudden, like, death tourism, everyone cares or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. I liked his movies. That's enough for me to be like, hey, bummer, man.
Yeah,
like,
genuinely bummed, man.
Yeah, you know? I don't know why it has to be this big thing.
He's great in those movies, and we've talked about it a lot. We've talked about those movies a lot on this show. And,
yeah.
And he's a lot of why it's good, you know?
Yeah. I just think it's like, I feel like the mass of people that have that reaction when a celebrity dies is now like the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah. But it's like I was saying before we started, like those people are generally just there to be contrarian.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't have a specific opinion. They just have the opposite opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you can go like, oh, I may not agree with them, but ooh, they have, you know, different opinions than the popular masses. So they must really have something going on.
Totally. Yeah, it was a bummer, man. Like, now kind of this series that was going really cool places is maybe, you know, they shot a lot of it, but there was still, they were going to go back and shoot more.
They weren't done at all, so they've got to retool the whole thing. Apparently, they're not scrapping it because they think they have enough done, but they have to rework the story now because I think they're going to work in on the death of Brian O'Connor.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really weird to watch, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they should do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, I know they've and, you know, the film, the studio has invested a lot of money in this.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot of work on it. And, you know, it's like, it's the last thing he was doing, I imagine. Yes, the show must go on that. And then
totally.
He would probably want it to be finished.
Oh,
but
probably.
It's going to be super weird.
It's going to be really weird. Yeah. And like,
there's got to be a way that they could do some sort of, not, I mean, and obviously this would be a really simplification of it, but like, there's got to be a way to have the character, you know, like, exit the film with what they have, you know what I mean? Like, not just like, I have to go home now, but something. You know what I mean? Like, there's
not just like a Poochie.
Yeah.
I'm needed on my home planet.
Yeah.
And then, like, the little cartoon.
Like, I mean, there's got to be a way to do something along those lines where, you know, like, he gets out, you know, or something where it's not
there's no way it's going to not feel weird.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, when he stops being in the movie, everybody's going to go, well, that's the point where he died, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, like, I mean, I don't know if it's in bad taste for them to have him die in a car crash, but what else are they going to do in the Fast and Furious movies?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like just cutting him out of it and somehow that might be a
way to do it. You know, like, he's with what's her face and like they're not going on this adventure.
Or like even just or, like at the very beginning of the movie going like, oh, it's so sad that our friend Brian died or whatever. Like, just not incorporating the actual movie.
Yeah. There's probably a way to do something between that too where like, you know, for a chunk of the film he's there and then they have him exit the film and then a new plot starts or something. So I don't know. But yeah, total bummer.
Really sad.
Definitely.
One other quick thing off the top. We did want to talk about the new Van Damme movie.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a new trailer for a Van Damme film that's going straight to VOD, so you know it's good.
Well, I think if not that, the caliber of celebrity that they've got
If you had anybody else starring in this movie with him, I feel like you could get it in theaters.
Yeah, probably. But somehow, Tom Everett Scott... who was a bit of a buzz name in
the
94.
When
96?
Did he do that terrible American Werewolf in Parisville?
That was
probably like 94. Yeah, or 8
I feel like
or something.
I feel like that.
Like it was around that and that thing you do and,
Stuff
like that. That's where he started to say
that. The American Werewolf film, I think, was kind of like around like post Scream. Everything they had to make every horror movie hip. So they're like, let's take that old hip movie and make it new hip, but shitty.
Yeah, the worst. Let's take all of the amazing things about that franchise out.
They added bungee jumping.
That's what they like.
Kids do that.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, everybody, what do you think? Tom Everett Scott, what do you think? And the world's answer was a resounding, yuck. No thanks.
So
he's back.
He's back alongside America's favorite Mad TV alum, I guess, Orlando Jones.
Yeah,
who I've never had a problem with Orlando Jones. I'm like he was mildly amusing on Mad TV,
sure,
which is the best Mad TV ever was.
He was one of those people that like was in some movies and was pretty funny, but then like. just kind of like his presence wore thin. Like,
he's
like,
acceptable supporting cast.
Yeah.
Just fine.
There was no way that he was going to graduate to leading movies and stuff.
No.
And there's no way.
No.
I can possibly imagine people buying him as a military ranger. Is that what he's supposed to be this? Well, and Tom Everett Scott?
I spent the first, because he shows
two
up.
Two action
and,
leads?
I don't want to spoil the trailer. I don't know why. But Orlando Jones shows up as, like, I guess in the movie described as, in the trailer, a military guy?
Yeah.
Is the parlance thing? Like,
these call us Frogman.
Yeah. But I'm fine with military guy.
So it's like post-military and Orlando shows up and was like, you left me behind.
Yeah.
So I'm here for my
vengeance.
He's like,
you have to pay with your life. And I'm like, is that Orlando Jones?
Yeah.
And he's all mad and he's all like, going to kill everybody.
Put down that gun and make me laugh, Orlando.
Or like, keep
this is making me
laugh.
Gun.
I'm still laughing.
But yeah, so then they go out into the woods to Orlando takes him out of the woods to murder him, but then Jean-Claude Van Damme shows up to find some heroin. For some, I don't know what they have to do with that.
No.
Maybe it's like
I think
a trespass
just, like,
thing.
I think it's just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, trespass, which style. Is ridiculous. But
so then the rest of the trailer just looks fucking awesome.
Amazing. Like, Van Damme is out of control.
Oh. He's got like a Javier Bardem in the counselor hair going on. It's like spiky.
Crazy and
hair.
And like bleach blonde kind of.
Yeah, kinda.
And he's doing like a wacky thing.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. So he's just letting it all hang out.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what? Awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
Let this guy be a fucking weirdo.
Totally.
I heard they kept having to replace the scenery because he kept eating it.
Nailed it.
Good night, folks. It looks like fucking a giant pile of fucking bananas. So I'm gonna watch the shit out of that.
It's called Enemies Closer.
Enemies Closer.
Right. Yeah, we talked about it without saying what it was. Yeah, so go
watch that trailer.
Watch the trailer for Enemies Closer. Absolutely. It's on the Facebook page at facebook.com/synwpc.
Yeah.
Also, I'll try and make this super quick because we got lots to talk about off the top. But I went and saw Catching Fire.
Oh yeah.
Between episodes on the weekend, we took my mom, me, and my brother. We had a family movie night out, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it. But I enjoyed going into it having heard both of your opinions because I saw the validity of both of them. I was like, because I can absolutely see this movie not grabbing somebody because it is very like, for the first 20 to 40 minutes, it's just a lot of character stuff. But I liked that because I feel like this movie's not, I guess it's not a trilogy because they're doing two after this, but I felt like the middle chapter having the like blooming emotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like you kind of need to do that to set up how the ending's going to be like. Spoiler alert or whatever if you haven't read the books. But like, you know, there's uprising afoot in this series, and I felt like it kind of needed that middle chapter to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like, I didn't like the movie, but that doesn't mean it isn't good.
Oh, totally.
It's totally fine. I just don't care.
Yeah. And that's totally fair.
I'm just out.
And I loved the games that, like, when Katniss comes up the elevator and you're revealed.
Oh, man.
I was
that
like,
was
damn.
Great. That's where I'm like, oh, maybe I'm in. Yeah. Nope. No, I'm all right.
Well, there was one thing that Casey and I spoke of that was stupid. And again, spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet, please skip ahead. But there's a point in the film where the geography of the games is revealed to be a clock of sorts.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really cool development, I thought. Yeah. And
it could have taken it into all sorts of cool different places, but they use it for one specific thing, and that's
to twirl them around.
Just somebody in the control room spins an actual dial,
and then the
island goes all spinning.
Yeah, and I was like,
not even the island, just the middle
just
part.
Just a little rock part.
Let's see him tell time now.
I know.
And everybody's desperately trying to cling on to the rock that's spinning and spinning around, and then someone gets thrown into the water, and she's okay.
Yeah.
So why didn't everybody just dive into the water and wait it out?
I know. I thought it was the one thing. I was like, oh, that would have been so cool. You should have kept it.
What a great idea to not do anything with.
Yeah. But otherwise, I really liked it. I thought it really got me stoked for the third one.
Yeah,
I,
for sure.
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited. Like, I wasn't that excited. Like, I liked the first one. Wasn't that excited about this one. Now I'm excited about the third.
Yeah, and I think
fourth and however
for my
many
money,
other.
Stylistically, And just in terms of how, like stylistically, I thought it was a step forward. And just as more of a consistent film, I felt like throughout it, it was just more consistently engaging for me. Like,
yeah.
Versus the first one, where I thought like the first one was kind of an action movie, and this one was a little bit more pulled back, and I dug that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was into it. I can't wait to see the third one. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet.
Show.
What else? Anything?
Yeah. I saw some
stuff.
What
do you got?
Oh, man. Well, I saw Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. We got a little round of See You Next Wednesday catch-up going on here.
Catch-up going on. Yeah. I saw that, and God damn, what a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Casey and I were talking about this, and just like, it's not just this is about very important things, and it has strong performances. Like, it is a great film. It's mm-hmm. told really well.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it again, because it was really entertaining. These performances are... I knew to expect good from Matthew McConaughey, or very good, based on the track record now, because Mud blew me away. Killer Joe blew me away. But this is by and large, the best thing he has ever done.
Oh, my
God. It's in a different realm.
And something that, like after Killer Joe, I never saw Mud, but after a couple things of his, I'm like, okay, this guy can do a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does that thing really well. I had no idea he could do this thing.
No.
It seems impossible that he should have been able to.
Yeah. I got lost in the character. I stopped thinking, wow, Matthew McConaughey lost a lot of weight. And
totally.
I was just watching this Woodruff guy.
He ceased to be McConaughey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto absolutely deserves a lot of credit too for helping tell this story with his performance, which is just captivating and tragic. And
he's had a weird career, and I feel like the high points of his career have been really fucking incredible. And the ones that weren't were kind of like, because he was in this movie called Mr. Nobody that was like a weird science fiction thing that I thought was really not very good.
Yeah.
But when he does nail something like this or something like American Psycho or whatever, like I feel like when he...
Oh, yeah.
He does like...
I keep forgetting I liked him.
He does amazing work.
Psycho.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, the guy from 30 Seconds to Mars, that garbage band.
Yeah, that stupid-ass band of his.
But... Yeah. You know, when he's on, he's fucking on.
Oh, really, I mean, he was Requiem for a Dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's another thing where you're just kind of like, okay, this guy can act.
Yeah.
Then after that, like, I mean, I saw that movie when it first came out and then forgot all about it. Or I mean, remember it being a good movie.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think Jared Leto in my head, I go, oh, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like, he'd never really done anything indelible, like to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't say that guy sucks anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what Dallas Buyers Club is.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got time for this guy now.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I loved, you know, just about, much like 12 Years a Slave, I liked just about everything about this movie.
Yeah.
Pace, storytelling,
and like the storytelling was so no frills, you know,
They
just told a story, and in that way I found the direction fucking amazing,
because
no point does the director get in the way of the story.
No, and this is so easy to have a sloppy, sappy, you know, movie of the week thing going on here.
Yeah, and they never do that. They never get sentimental. They just let the gravity of the situation affect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Really, really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And, but boy, it's just been catching up on this and 12 Years a Slave, like, I need to go see something light, man.
Yeah.
Some heavy movie experiences. What I did watch that was light, this is very brief, but I'm enjoying the Hulu on my laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, I'll check out some TV, as I like trashy TV, as we all know. And I watched some of that Almost Human.
Oh.
That Carl Urban.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd, Carl Urban. It's him and who else is on it? Lily Taylor's on it.
Yeah.
It's in the future. Every human cop is paired with a robot cop. But he gets one who was designed to have like emotions and a personality. So he's different. They butt heads, buddy cop, and fuck me, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked it, and it was far more violent.
Who's the RoboCop?
I can't remember his name. I've seen him in stuff. I don't know his name though. But he's quite good in it, but it was far more violent than I was expecting to see. The opening 5 minutes, I was like, Jesus Christ, this can't be network television. This is very violent.
Oh, is it network?
Yeah. And but the future...
Oh, fuck, man. Hannibal is violent as shit.
Yeah, I guess they got to fucking...
The networks have been really stepping it up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that they're... Now that the big three are an antiquated notion, they've got to do something.
Yeah, that Kevin Bacon show, The Following, I remember, was like, we got this serial killer show, and it's going to be gory, so check it out. It's network or something. Yeah. That was like... literally the advertising was like, you won't believe it's on network or something. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is the same thing they did with NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, this could be so gritty. And all it really was just shots of Dennis Franz's ass.
Yeah, which is pretty gritty.
Oh my God, he has the grittiest ass I've ever seen.
You could sand down.
Sand down your ass. All right. It's obvious you're just going for gritty.
But yeah, Almost Human's future world that they've put together is really good, and it's got a good uniform feel to the technology in it.
Oh, I like
all the look of their future stuff. It's a neat little world they put together. It looks like a fucking expensive show, so they better hope they got a hit, otherwise it's not going to last.
What network?
I don't know. Hulu.
Oh, so NBC.
Yeah, sure. Right. But yeah, you know what? It's not going to blow, like, you know, wow, the greatest thing on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want, like, just some good hour-long cop.
With robots.
With robots.
Buddy cop robot
cop
future
robot.
TV show. Like,
they should make a movie called Cop Robot.
That's like a Netflix category.
Yeah. Buddy cop robot. It's a good watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep watching it. I've seen two episodes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Sweet.
I'm in robot.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Yay. I'll check that out before I watch any of those serious shows I'm apparently supposed to watch, like Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad.
I don't know. You guys really should watch Game of Thrones. I just watched an episode. I'm not going to say anything because it'd be a spoiler and mean. But for people who do watch it, I'm in season 3 right now, and I just watched that fucking episode.
Yeah,
from season
I know
3.
About that.
Holy,
the one with all of the reaction videos. And
whoa, yeah, it just my mouth was just hanging open for 5 minutes, like. Oh my God!
I remember distinctly when I know exactly what episode. Yeah. I don't know what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I know some stuff that happens because, like, I remember when that episode aired because the internet just exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
All this stuff that was like all these little things here and there, and I'm like, stop spoiling this for. Oh, it's Game of Thrones. It's okay.
Yeah, it's just a bummer that you won't watch that.
It's
so good. It was one of the craziest television moments I've ever experienced.
Yeah, I'll someday get to it.
Yeah, I might at some point, because everybody says the same thing. Like, no, I know you hate fantasy, but it's not that kind of fantasy thing. And I'm like,
really
it's
isn't.
Still a bunch of swords and thrones and dragons. And that shit is all in there.
You're like, thrones are in the title.
It's right there. They make a game of it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Someday, though.
So probably my name would be changed if I watched it. Probably my mind would be changed if I watched it.
I guarantee you it would.
Who has the time?
You'll go into witness protection. No one can know I've changed my mind.
No one can know I like fantasy now.
Sweet. So anything else? What do you? Anything? Should we
I
get?
I think that's everything I saw.
Shall we
jump into film roulette?
Get into film roulette. Film roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two winners get to go and see something good. This week, Casey and I went and saw Nebraska, but the loser has to go see something that we've deemed shitty or is getting a bad rep on Metacritic. And so this week, Greg went and saw, what was it, Homefront, which was getting like...
Which, as a disclaimer,
we all
when it first
see.
Came out, we were like, oh, that's the winning movie.
Hell yeah.
But that's how we play it. The loser gets to give the winners an album of his choice for the following week. I lost last week, so I gave these guys MC Scat Cat to listen to, and we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But that's how we play. We roll, we win or lose, and we listen to music.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll do a little bit of a disclaimer. I feel like we should start saying this at the top of Film Roulette. There will be some spoilers. We're not going to fuck
gonna
a movie
it,
up for you.
We'll
but,
keep it generally spoiler-free, but there's some stuff we have to talk about.
Yeah. We're going
to
be talking about themes and
we'll talk about themes and plot
stuff.
Points and stuff like that. We're not going
to
give away.
If you're a purist, I'm just like, I feel like some people might just listen to our show and be like, whoa. But we won't fuck a movie up for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck a movie up for
you. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe an addendum to that disclaimer is the losing movie almost always.
It's not one of these movies.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Just going to fuck a movie up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We will not ever fuck a movie up for you unless we do.
Yeah.
In which case, we did.
All right. That sounds perfect. Case and I went and saw Nebraska.
Yeah.
This was the new Alexander Payne joint. This is following up Descendants, which got a lot of buzz, got Oscar noms.
Which I still haven't seen.
Did they win for script?
Yes. Yeah, because Jim Rash ran up.
Jim Rash went up. That was
that
awesome.
That little leg thing.
Yep, pretty good.
Which was awesome.
So I didn't really like Descendants that much. I thought it was a good movie.
It was good,
but
too much praise.
Way too much praise, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I also thought that Jim Rash and what's his name? Nat Faxon. I felt like they went on to a better movie with The Way Way Back.
Yeah.
So The Way 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 Back.
I just started saying W's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, you call it, you just say it like WWB. You just say, like, oh, yeah, whoop-a-ba.
Whoop-a-ba. Whoop-a-ba.
But, yeah, so Nebraska stars Will Forte,
Bruce Dern, Stacy Keach.
Yes, Stacy Keach. I loved seeing his name in there because I haven't really read too much other than, I think I watched the trailer a long time ago, but I totally forgot that he was in this. And when his name came up, I was like, yeah, Stacy Keach.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, Bob Odenkirk. So really cool cast, shot in black and white, or shot in color and changed to black and white. Apparently, there's a color version out there.
Oh, really?
That the studio's ordered, but Alexander Payne has said, like, no one's ever going to see that version.
Yeah, good. It's unnecessary.
No.
It's a beautiful movie in black and white.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this, how do you want to talk about this? What would you say the breakdown of this film is plot-wise? Like, how would you just describe it?
Okay, in a very literal sense?
No, just like the IMDb, you know, like tagline of what
well,
the plot
the,
is.
Well, the IMDb but, like, tagline the is usually pretty...
if it was a song.
Yeah, sing it.
Okay, so... There once was a movie called Nebraska. Wait, I got to think of something that rhymes with Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so in a very literal sense, it's a movie about a man who thinks he's won $1 million and is going to make his way to Lincoln, Nebraska, to claim his prize.
And Will Forte kind of plays his son.
He definitely plays his
kind
son.
Of plays his
kind
son.
Of plays his son.
I think they left it up.
They left it ambiguous, except for all the times where he calls him dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Forte basically plays his son.
Who's kind of going along with it, despite the fact that, like, his mom and his brother, Bob Odenkirk, are kind of...
Everybody's against it because basically what he receives in the mail is one of those publishers clearinghouse type things where you've won $1 million, come and claim your prize. But the proviso being you need the correct code and you need to have subscribed to a bunch of magazines.
Yeah.
And also nobody ever wins $1 million.
No.
So
yeah. So what did you think of this? We were both kind of pretty stoked about this movie going in.
Yes.
I was because having not liked Descendants, I thought the trailer for this movie looked way more in line with what I like about Alexander Payne.
Right.
And what did you think?
I don't think this movie's going to win any awards.
No.
No. Okay, with the exception of two acting awards, as a whole, I fucking loved this movie.
I loved it.
It's
me too. Absolutely.
It's so perfectly told.
It's I went into this movie excited, and I definitely for the first maybe 10 or 15 minutes there was a little bit of hesitation on my part. I was like,
I totally get that.
There was some
but
of the,
then you but then you realize why that those 10 minutes of like what is the tone here become entirely clear.
And the performances at first I was kind of like you kind of have to ease yourself into this movie, and then by the end this movie had me absolutely and completely.
Oh, fucking I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to use the term perfect movie, but I can't think of anything that was wrong with it.
No.
Everything about it was pitch perfect.
Yeah, I think this movie definitely plays on strengths of the kind of movies that I like with, like, the 70s New Hollywood stuff. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Aesthetically, not just because it's black and white, but the way that the cinematography is and stuff recalls, like, Last Picture Show, stuff like that. Like, that kind of just small town.
It's like
that town.
Black and white sort of cinema verite. Like, where everything is just basically as dull as it is.
Totally.
And the way it's shot, too. Like, you know, just striking. Shots on the side of the road.
Yeah.
It's that thing where it shows you the world you live in as opposed to this big kind of Hollywood world.
Yeah, and I loved, I mean, obviously the buzz is all around Bruce Dern, and Bruce Dern was fucking, like, he does so much with so little, and I feel like I say that a lot about people's performances, but Bruce Dern really, really nails, like, the regret, and he nails everything about this character.
He almost reveals everything about the character, all of the insecurity and everything of the character without revealing anything at all.
Because you really find more about him in the way people talk of
all of his character development is through other characters developing.
Yeah,
like it's
like the characters you meet in this town do all of that for you, but. Yeah. It matches so perfectly with the way that he acts it. It becomes this totally holistic and one performance, even though he hasn't really done the work. He does this really, I don't know how to explain it.
It's so hard to describe, but it's so engaging. It's the smallest movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a movie where people don't talk like Hollywood.
No.
You know, like, it's... It's so hard to talk about.
I know. And I loved this, especially because it was a step way back in the right direction. I feel like Alexander Payne does... I'm sure people will say that I'm wrong about this, but I feel like he does two kinds of movies. He does, like, The Election or The Sideways, which is, like, a human story but told kind of...
A bit of a biting satire.
Yeah.
A hyper-reality.
Yeah, with, like, more kind of slapsticky or more goofy moments and stuff, and then he does things like this or... And, I mean, I kind of felt like... When I don't like him is when he kind of tries to muddle them. That's what I felt like with Descendants. It tried to play both sides.
I feel like Sideways was a lot like that.
Yeah, I guess that's true as well.
Like with these sort of like larger characters than are necessary.
Yeah, and then this was just so... Right back on track. It's funny, and the stuff that's funny is so subtle and just kind of perfect. Like there's a scene where they're all watching TV, and there's like all of these old people in the room, and Will Forte's over on the side, and the dad's kind of in the back, and they're just watching like football. And
they're a family. It's like they on their way to Lincoln, they all go and visit their sort of extended family.
Yeah.
In the town where they grew up. And the town starts to catch on that he's quote unquote won this $1 million.
Hmm. And sort of turn on him in a way like you owe us money now for all these things like we've done for you. Which isn't like necessarily something we haven't seen before, but it works so well.
But and it's also not even necessary.
What?
Talking about the plot in this movie is a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
I won't say that. Anyway, what I did want to say is I almost want to like I can't see this thing winning any awards.
I can understand
because
that.
I can see it like just sort of like sliding below the radar. Like Will Forte's performance is fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
but he doesn't do anything beyond be a person.
Yeah,
you know, and the choices that he makes as just a regular person,
this movie,
I can respect those choices because those are the choices that I've seen made around me.
I completely agree with you because this movie doesn't manipulate the audience in the way that Oscar award-winning films do. It doesn't have that like big emotional thing at the end, but in a way, like. The parts at the end of the movie that made me feel really emotional and get misty were things that, like, actions in a film that you wouldn't necessarily think would get you emotional. Like, there's some things, you know, like Bruce Dern struggling with his health, and there's some moments where you're like, okay, this is kind of going as I expected. But the stuff that actually made me emotional was, like, weird stuff. And I don't know how to say it without spoiling the end of the movie, but there's just actions by characters where you're like, well, that's a real thing somebody would do for somebody, and that's, like, fucking affecting his shit.
Yeah, it really is just...
Like,
it's one of those movies that, like, this always blows my mind when a filmmaker can do this, where it's a really low-stakes movie.
Yeah.
But it brings you down to the size of those stakes.
Yeah.
Like, you go, like, it doesn't matter that they're low stakes because they mean so much to me because I've spent this time with these characters.
Exactly.
Without having these characters forced down my throat or anything. Now, in terms of a standout performance, like, Bruce Dern is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like June Squibb's performance was my favorite. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She
unbelievable,
was fucking,
right?
That it's.
So
I think it's
good.
It's one of the funniest performances.
Yeah.
Like stream performances of the year.
I agree. Absolutely. I was my call. My bring out. Like when I left the theaters, like, I need to go look up her name because I want to be able to call that out on the episode. Like, she does something. She plays one like an older kind of like snarky character that does at times kind of like swear and say shocking things, but it never plays like that. Trope in cinema. It never plays like
grandma
like,
or anything. It's not that at all.
No.
It's just you see how her as a person differs from, like, she plays Bruce Dern's wife.
Yeah.
You see how they differ as people and how they sort of like accept the world and how they sort of interpret the world. Mm-hmm. And her interpretation is so fucking sweet and like she's just like I don't know. I can't. I don't know what not to ruin with this thing. Because it's a very delicate movie.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to explain that properly.
Totally. And I know what you mean when you say it won't win awards. Like, I think you're right. It is very, it's like, because it's low stakes.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It's
just unfortunate that
really
it probably
fucking
won't.
Awesome. Stacey Keach was amazing to see in there. God. He does really good work. And I also, the last thing I'll mention is I really liked that he takes these Midwestern characters and sketches them so richly. Like, I feel like I enjoyed. There was one part about the movie that was interesting that they kind of reveal certain darkness under some of the characters. Like, there was a conversation in the kitchen where they're talking about two characters, one of which was played by Buzz from Home Alone, and they steal the thing and everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the brothers.
Yeah, the brothers, and there was like they're speaking about something that one of the brothers did and kind of mentioning, like, was it a sexual assault or what? And it was kind of like a really dark moment to hit that these characters were kind of playing off in a blasé way. And it kind of made it just it was like that's the kind of attitude the people that live in Midwestern towns that would maybe
absolutely
experience,
especially
that.
In relation to their family.
Yeah.
Like, there are these dark family secrets or not even secrets, these dark things that happen within a family, and then you see the way a family rationalizes or
exactly.
not necessarily justifies but
no.
rationalizes these things so that they can still all live together.
Exactly. And I just thought that was such a weird, it was a moment that catches you off guard. He doesn't linger on it, they don't focus on it, but it's just a thing that somebody says that you're just like, that really kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it. You explained it better than me. So, yeah, like, it really makes it feel much more real. And you're like, yeah, that is what these kind of people are like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're like, they're not all bad people. Like the extended family scenes in this movie were the things that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Rance Howard actually plays one of his brothers, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's this moment where they're all sitting around watching football and nobody's relating to anybody else. Everyone's just staring straight ahead. And there will be these little conversations going on between people. Hey, you still got that car? Yeah.
Yeah.
And these little like nobody's making eye contact or anything like that. Just these conversations that are kind of casually thrown out.
Yeah.
And just the little banal things that families pick up on.
Exactly.
Like somebody comes in, Bob Odenkirk's character comes in after having just driven there, and somebody asks, how long did it take you? And everybody like immediately starts paying attention.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that everybody needs to know.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get there?
Yeah. I think it definitely fucking go see this movie. It's so good.
Man.
Definitely like, one of the best I've seen this year. Absolutely be on my top five.
Oh, it's definitely on my top five.
Yeah. Awesome. Nebraska. Go see this in theaters for sure. Before, I know it's been out in Limited in Toronto for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be out there for a little bit longer in Varsity for maybe a little while. But yeah, fuck, man. Jesus.
So
way back on track for Alexander Payne.
So far, I think my favorite Alexander Payne movie.
Yeah, it's up there.
Even over About Schmidt. Wow.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Gotta see that.
Yeah. So you went and saw Homefront.
Did see Homefront.
Some explosions.
Some
Away opposite spectrum.
Sylvester
is
Stallone penned.
Oh,
Homefront.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So did I until I was on my way down there, and I was like, "Fucking hey, man, I'm totally in the mood for this."
Yeah.
And it really feels like this was a Stallone like, and he wrote it a while ago, but then as he was getting older, it was just like, it's not going to happen.
Was it how long ago? Like
I'm not sure. It doesn't really say with things I've read, but I imagine it was somewhere in between Over the Top and, you know, Get Carter.
Okay.
Somewhere in the dark years. but it's just got, you know, it has all the familiar things of the, you know, the single macho dad.
Yeah.
He's a widower and he has a spunky preteen to hang out with.
Yeah.
And it's about Jason Statham, who is an undercover cop, and an operation he's working on, he gets the evil biker that he's supposed to.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
But the evil biker's son is gunned down in the process, and he's not cool with it, so he walks away from the force, and his wife dies because she was sick, and he moves with his daughter out to some small town to just live as a carpenter or something like that.
Okay.
But he seems to have like a really expensive truck and big house and like horses and stuff. Like, I don't really know where all the money came from. With a dead wife. I don't think that, maybe life insurance. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, but it seemed like he had a lot of stuff for a retiring cop fella who just, you know, repairs stairs and shit. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. And so he's living out there, and his daughter gets into a fight at school, and that leads to a series of altercations with the small town crazy people. And, you know, small towns are full of crazy people.
Of course.
And
this is the South, too, right?
That's right. And it's...
not that people are extra crazy in the South.
I think
I don't know why I got that point.
All of our listeners from the South were like, fuck Casey.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy.
They just started a blood feud with you.
You
have a beautiful, diverse culture, people from the South.
Statham's little girl punches out this bully boy, and his uncle is James Franco, who's the local meth kingpin.
Oh, shit.
Named Gator.
Oh, man.
Awesome. I'm watching. I'm like, I'm down. Because he, like, you know, you can see that he's going to be using a lot of those.
And I like James Franco in that kind of a role. Like,
sure. I'm like, let him fly off the handle and be a crazy guy. Yeah. That's awesome. Jason Statham is a great screen fighter. I'm like, this is definitely the movie where he's going to go off on a bunch of hillbillies and try and beat him up in bars.
Yeah, this is going to be like his Walking Tall or whatever, you know.
Totally, totally. And, this movie's awful.
I was rooting so much for it.
Man, I was like, let's get there. All the scenes, I'm like waiting for it to go. I'm like, go do the movie. I know.
Turn on.
Be a movie now.
And like, it never boils over where it's supposed to. James Franco doesn't go into Bananas Land.
Fuck.
The action is shot so poorly. It's like, really, the edits are too quick, so I don't get to see a guy who is a really skilled fighter fight. It's like you see him real back for a punch, but then it cuts to the guy, like, you know, it's all too quick, too dark. And you're going from the quick cuts go from a big close up to super wide to back to close up. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching.
I hate that.
I don't know what happened. So Franco's character's plan. I'm spoiling stuff. If you're gonna watch, nothing surprising. I'm warning you. So Franco's character he finds out who Statham is, that he's an undercover cop.
Yeah,
he knows all these gangs, these biker meth guys. So he's like, I'm gonna sell him out to that guy who's in jail, whose son was killed, so I can get like major distribution. So, but then Franco's character, who seems like is the big bad guy, doesn't really do anything. His girlfriend is Winona Ryder, who I didn't realize was in it.
Oh.
And she's fun in it. I actually liked her. I don't know why I said that. She's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has a problem with
her. She was fun in it. She, like, if the rest of the movie was kind of like she's playing the meth junkie lady, like she's over it and she's trying to get into the business side, but she's kind of twitchy still. I'm like, you're putting something into it. It's too bad no one else did. So she's the one who's running the negotiations with the biker gang, and he's just kind of standing back. He doesn't really do anything, so you don't really feel anything negative towards him, except for he's just some local meth cook who's kind of opportunistic but kind of doesn't do anything. Even when he's like, some people are cooking meth in his territory, he just hits one guy in the leg with a baseball bat and threatens him, like, don't you, I better not catch you kids here again. Like, that's the extremes of it. Like, there's nothing, I never felt like anything was really all that at stake, you know. And it's his sister who's like the one who freaks out and's like, that you go get that guy for having his daughter punch my son or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like it was going to be this out of control, you know, where you know, the city guy in the crazy town that's like close knit, and he's the outsider. But they just never let anything happen.
Yeah,
yeah, that, you know, seemed that was the movie I wanted to see.
Yeah, exactly. No, all the bikers come in and fuck with him, but you don't. It's also dark. It's always in the dark, and you don't see any fighting. I don't know how many bikers there were, or who got shot by what, and it's just, oh fuck me.
Yeah,
so boring. And I started to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Literally. I'm sitting there and just like, whoa, I just nodded off for a second there. What's happening? Oh, still nothing. Okay.
The guy, Gary Feld, Fleder, he's done a lot from I'm Law and IMDb.
Runaway Jury or something.
Yeah, but he's done a lot of TV lately, and I feel like
Las Vegas and stuff.
Not that people that do TV can't direct action. I'm not going to make that generalization, but I feel like it makes sense that if this guy that's directed for TV a lot now is going to this movie and you're saying like the direction's not that great, I feel like maybe it could stem from that. I don't know.
Yeah, good. No, it's really poorly directed, because even if this story is really stupid and I don't give a shit, but if the acting is like a bad guy who's being all fucking, you know, Vernon Wells from Commando, crazy bad guy, and you know, you got your just stone-faced hero, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Crazy hillbillies with shotguns and baseball bats and pickup trucks and face punching. Jason Statham's a great fighter. Just give me one large frame shot. One shot. Doesn't even have to be shot well. Just on him, and he beats
punches
five guys
everybody.
Up. Great. He can do crazy kicks and, I don't know, kung fu.
Yeah.
I don't know what his particular skill is, but you know, that's all you need. That's why you go to these movies. That's why you watch Van Damme movies. Because he has a skill set that is rare.
Yeah.
And show it to me.
And a stupid plot is entirely necessary to showcase
this. Totally. And this is a really stupid plot.
Well, that is disappointing.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge bummer. Yeah.
How's old Clancy B?
He's in there wearing a cop uniform in it.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like in the first like 5-10 minutes, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, this is going to be sweet. Because I'm like, I didn't know Clancy Brown was in this right now. I fucking love Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
He has no purpose whatsoever. He's just nothing.
Sounds like a
whole shit ton of nothing.
Yeah. All levels.
Fucking bummer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of me
just,
wanted.
It's just boring. That's what it is.
Part of me wanted it to be great because I saw the trailers and thought it was good, but another part of me is like, well, I'm glad that the punishment movie wasn't awesome for you because it was a punishment movie.
Yeah. But I thought I was kind of like, I'll just have fun.
It sucks when you go into a punishment movie that, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, I want to see
this. I think I'm going to enjoy
this.
And then it
disappoints you.
No, like, this is punishment.
Well, like,
when I
was just going to say, when I got punished with The Call, the Halle Berry movie, I was like, that trailer looks stupid, but in the back of my mind, I want to see this. And I was pleasantly surprised for the most part. I didn't like the ending, but for the most part, I was like, this is passable entertainment, and I'm not mad I'm here.
Right. But it also sucks, too, when you get the losing movie, and you're like, okay, well, at least this thing is going to be such a fucking abomination that, you know, it'll be fun for the
and
show or whatever.
Boring.
But, like, this reminds me a lot of, like, Bullet to the Head.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, that movie was just really boring, and I don't even want to talk about it because it's boring.
That was a big bummer. But Walter Hill, big action film, big budget in theaters. Yeah, real bummer.
Giant piece of crap.
Fuck.
Yep. Yeah, Homefront. Yeah. Not... You know how there's a slew of Jason Statham movies you won't watch on Netflix?
Yeah.
This is one of those.
Okay. Like, safe?
Safe. Yeah. Stop suggesting it.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, I didn't want to see that in theaters. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's good, but that cover doesn't make
it look
good.
Have you used that on American Netflix? There's that Max thing?
Yes, I've used that.
Man, that thing keeps on. It's like, hey, how you doing? I'm Max. Want to watch Safe?
Yeah.
I don't.
What a coincidence. All three picks were saved. You don't want to watch it? I'll just start it. See what you think.
Yeah, that's like, no.
It's just like having an annoying robotic pushy friend.
Yeah. You select,
dude, I want to watch Safe.
You select another movie. It's like, how about Safe? It's playing now. All right.
You selected Terms of Endearment. Get ready for Safe.
Yeah, it's just a waste of time. Nothing
Bummer.
Good about it. Franco doesn't even go all Franco in it.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering how big of a waste of time my album was, because I gave you guys MC Scat Cat.
Yes.
And I wouldn't call
Scat
it a...
Scat Cat Crew or whatever they're called. Get along, gang.
I wouldn't call it a waste of time.
So for the listeners, I gave them an album that was a spinoff of a music video that Paula Abdul did, where she danced around with a animated cat rapper.
Yeah.
And about a year or two later, they were like, hey, that was a popular video, and we should make an entire album where the cat raps.
Yeah, it came out in 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of this? I listened to exactly two or three. I believe it was three tracks from this. And I was like, that's enough for me.
Then that is exactly enough.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, because I was like...
In those three, you can be maybe not charmed by them.
No.
Oh, well, I was. Well, I listened to maybe... Yeah.
Well, he's kind of doing a Fresh Prince thing.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince. Or see, for my money, it was a little more Tone Loc than it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I listened to one of the tracks to give it to... Or a couple of the tracks to, before I gave it to you guys. And one of them, I was like, I don't hate this one.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I'm semi-impressed with his flow on this track for a novelty rapper.
Yeah. It is reasonably well produced for a novelty album about a rapping cat.
Yeah.
every single thing that we say about this will be prefaced by, or will be ended by, for a novelty act. Because everything on this thing is mildly charming for a novelty act.
Yeah,
it does, that the charm does die out really
This became
quickly.
Exhausting to listen to.
I can imagine
I could not do it all in one go.
Yeah. I didn't end up doing it. Well, I did it all in one go once, but I fell asleep. And
sure.
Then...
I want to picture you're like doing, like you're driving
something. I was running at the time. So I don't know what that means for this. Yeah, it just fell down. But there were things about it. Like there's a song called No Dogs Allowed or something.
Yeah.
And that one is about how MC Scat Cat ain't fucking no ugly ladies.
That's true.
and so get this album for your kids.
Yeah, like for the longest time I was like, this is kind of weirdly misogynistic. And I guess it's for the time. It was supposed to be sort of like kind of winking at the audience or whatever, but I'm like, it's starting to get a little annoying now.
Yeah,
and then at the end they switch it up and it's all like, oh, but MC Scat Cat, you a dog too.
Uh-oh.
Damn.
Yeah,
but there's that whole part in the middle of the song where there's the girl like, so I'm like, is he fucking her? And then that's going on for a while. Then he's like, no dogs allowed. Like,
no.
So
what it means is
he fucks him for a little bit.
Yeah. No dogs allowed to stay after I fucked you. Oh.
No literal dogs fucking are a dog. To watch him fuck.
But I'll start.
Yeah, but he will fuck an ugly lady.
Yeah.
But there were little moments of that.
I don't know. I dare you to listen to this album for a week and then remember anything.
I don't think I could.
It's such a blur.
I listened to those three songs like a couple hours ago and I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I will tell you the most interesting thing about this album. Mm-hmm. It's not actually necessarily about this album, but about MC Scat Cat. You know the actor Romany Malco?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the rap for that Paula Abdul video.
Yeah.
And oftentimes he's mistaken as being the person who raps it as well.
Right.
But he did not perform it, but he did write it.
Huh.
Which is very strange to me. That he before, and this is before his film career didn't happen until like 10 years later.
Yeah.
So it's pretty weird. I've read some stuff he's written actually. He's like quite a great writer.
Yeah. I don't think he had anything to do with this.
With the album specifically, he was there for sort of the inception of MC Scat Cat.
Yeah.
So he's sort of one of the creators of.
I just can't get my mind around the idea that it was like this video from a year ago was so popular that we need to bring it back.
Was it even
for
a year? I feel like it was like two or three
it was like,
years
I feel
something.
Like it was, a year, a couple.
Well, yeah, that probably was, like 88 or 89.
Yeah. So, like 3 years. Like, let's get that rapping cat that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who's talking about?
I think the one song, one of the ones I listened to was did you watch the video? There was a video for New Cat Swing or whatever it was called.
No, I didn't see the video for it.
And it's more like Paula Abdul's in the video a lot, but she doesn't sing or do anything.
Right.
She also produced this album.
Oh. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah. Well, good for her.
Uh-huh. I saw when I was reading about this album and the AV Club, the only comment about it is this is the least essential album of the 90s.
Yeah. That was, well, that's
probably true.
Well, the AV Club has a couple articles that are like least essential albums of these years, and that was what got me running down the what are some novelty albums?
It wasn't that. It was like, I've listened to worse things. This is just like, after, because there's just nothing particular, there's nothing good. You're, the whole time you're like, well, this isn't terrible, but then after five songs, it's like, it's not good though either. So I need out of here.
Now it's terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the first little while, like listening to it in installments, there was a little bit of nostalgia because it was like, rapping was a very different thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the cadence of it was very different, and the, like, it's awkward.
Yeah, and I'm not, and I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not saying that rappers aren't skilled today, but I feel like there was less influence on, like, I mean, the wordplay was obviously clever and great and stuff, but I felt like there was more influence, there was more focus on, like, your skill and your timing and your rhyme
schemes
and
stuff. You mean back
then? Yeah, a little. I feel like because they're so like extended, like a lot of old 90s and earlier with the Grandmaster Flash and stuff, I feel like it's a lot longer. There's more emphasis put on, the performance, whereas now it's in terms of mainstream rap, it's a lot of just kind of like, it's catchy, we have a hook, and he raps about drinking or whatever. I'm being general, but
yeah, I see what you mean. I just feel like the cadence of rap back in the early 90s and late 80s was, it almost feels like how my dad would rap. Like if my dad was like, somebody asked him to describe rap.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like this, where you go, that seemed like the cadence of rap back then. Whereas
I feel like that definitely into the 90s kind of became the, like, I don't know, the washing clean of anything that was dangerous or cool about rap in the 90s. Right. For sure.
Like with stuff like Young MC and Tone Loc, where like it was very, I think, basic.
Yeah.
So that people could get on board and not be, so that white people could get on board be alienated.
Totally. But yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad that you guys enjoyed watching, listening to that album.
This is just a little, I don't know why it was like this. The last song on the album is MC Scat Cat's theme.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was at the end, because it feels like it's the beginning.
It starts out with the beginning of an album.
Hey, we got to get in the studio, make this album. And they're like, it's like they're doing a James Brown beatbox terrible thing. Yeah, this is cool.
It's warming up the vocals.
Like, why is it at the end?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just another.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, let's get rolling.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
Greg,
always
I always
try and
do
skip. Dan Gorman.
Mostly when I'm about to get punished with an album.
That's all right. I'm going to be nice. Or yay. I think I'm being nice.
More Morrissey for Casey.
It's the album I brought up on the show earlier this year, and the year's almost over, and just a newer album. But I want to talk about that new Deftones album.
Oh, yeah,
Koi no Yokan, which is I think just great.
Cool, because I don't think when that album came out, I heard a lot of great stuff, and I'm not huge into the Deftones. I liked some of their stuff, but I definitely don't think I would have gone out of my way to listen to it.
Well, no, and I used to like them a lot in the end of the 90s. I was definitely into them, and then, kind of lost track, and because, I don't know, they're just not a band that's very cool to listen to, so it's easy to skip them over, but a friend of mine recommended checking it out. I did, and I listened to it a lot while I was in Greece. It's a really cool album, and they're after their bass player was in a coma and car accident, they got the guy from Quicksand.
Oh.
And this is the first album where he's had creative input in the
That's
writing.
Cool.
And it really...
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I love Quicksand.
Yeah, great band. And he's had a very positive effect on this band. I think it's probably the best thing they've done.
Cool. I'm excited.
Excellent album I'd like to talk about.
Awesome. So now we'll roll.
Now we'll roll.
Yeah.
For Out of the Furnace.
Mm-hmm.
This is Christian Bale, Casey Affleck. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't like the music in the trailer, but otherwise,
let's
completely
be honest,
sold.
It's a thin week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a thin week.
But I mean, when I saw this trailer back when it first came out, I was like, oh, that's like that's something I kind of want to see.
Yeah, enough cast that, like, there's going to be some form of quality.
It's from the director of Crazy Heart. I didn't love Crazy Heart. I didn't hate it.
No,
it was an okay drama.
If not
good
for Jeff Bridges, it's not really worth checking out.
No. But yeah, so I'm kind of excited, like, maybe with some more performances, maybe a more interesting plot.
Yeah.
This will be cool. So I'm excited. We're going to go Netflix, though, for Loser, right?
Right.
So what are we thinking?
Well, let's see what we got here.
We got a list here.
I added a couple of things to the list since the last time we had to do a bad Netflix.
Cool.
I don't remember what that is. Let's see what they are. Where's my list? Now this list is getting huge, so there's other things to go. Okay, yeah, yeah. So there is the Bounty Hunter. I know you just saw.
I just watched one for
what
the
was
money.
That called?
Yeah, one for the money.
So there's that.
Double up on bounty hunters.
There's so that's very keeping in that. There's Killing Season with De Niro and a weirdly bearded Travolta.
That looks bad. Travolta's like Russian accent or whatever.
Yeah. And then just a bunch of shit that we've mentioned a couple of times that's still out there. Like, did you hear about the Morgans?
Mm-hmm.
Cop and a Half.
Yeah.
What else is on here? 1,000 Words.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to roll through with Bounty Hunter? Bad Bounty Hunters.
I think I kind of like the idea.
We're working
only
through
because
them.
I hope you lose.
Okay. I like that. I like the idea too, and I also think like maybe we could throw Killers on that list. After this.
Yeah.
Like there's so many of them. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not bad. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm into that.
The Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter.
Casey is rolling for Out of the Furnace versus Bounty Hunter.
And for our listeners who enjoy the strategy of the game, I'm going half carpet, half bouncy tiles.
Okay. I don't know. That's going to bounce all over the place.
I missed
Where did it go?
It's going super far, landing on
six.
Damn.
I missed the carpet. Maybe that was the key.
I'm not going to throw this thing as far as Casey, but I'm going to roll on the bouncy tile. You guys are trying to steal my shit with this bouncy tile. I have rolled a 6.
Oh,
all right, if Greg rolls lower than a 6.
And if I roll a 6,
we're
going to die.
Oh, God.
I guess I'll bouncy tile too. Why not?
Greg has rolled a 3.
Well, that's half of 6.
Yeah, enjoy that movie.
Hold on, I'm about to roll.
Oh, yeah. We'll do the roll. So enjoy that. Yeah, bounty hunter or whatever.
I'll enjoy that. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll compare our notes.
Sure.
See how they match up.
Yeah, you could probably just watch that.
Listen to our episode where he talked about One for the Money.
Yeah. I heard if you put Bounty Hunter and One for the Money over top of each other, you'll learn about the moon landing. So maybe do that.
God damn it.
All right. So what are we getting into next?
Oh, let's talk about a super helicopter.
All right.
Yeah.
Airwolf Corner.
A little Airwolf for everybody.
Sweet.
Yeah. I watched an episode of Airwolf called Mad Over Miami.
Oh.
I'm in.
Now that I think about it, I don't know why it was called that.
No. Well, I mean, nobody, it's obviously a play on Moon Over Miami.
Yeah.
But
the whole thing's in Cuba. I mean, I understand.
Well, maybe the Cubans were super mad over something that happened in Miami. Maybe they saw Invasion USA.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, this is 1984. Invasion USA hadn't come out yet.
Maybe
otherwise USA would have been exactly is based that. On this episode.
Yeah. So in this episode of Airwolf, Dominic Santini is played by Ernest Borgnine. The episode opens with him flying out to some island, and a bunch of Cuban radicals come out with the machine guns and stuff and point them at him, and he's like, let's see the guys. And then they bring out these two hostages, and he's like, okay. And he lands, he gives a guy a suitcase full of money, and just as they're about to square away their exchange here, another helicopter with guys with machine guns hanging off of it comes flying in and steals the suitcase.
Okay.
And the guys are like, you didn't do the deal. And Ernest Borgnine's like, what are you? You got robbed. I already did the thing. And they're like, nope, get out of here. And so he leaves. And while he's flying away, his helicopter has been hit with machine gun fire and is leaking fuel. And he's like, oh, no. And then we go to, opening credits or
whatever. Is this just his casual helicopter?
No, this is his straight up Santini Air helicopter with an American flag on it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They have a lot of helicopters.
Yeah.
There's at least 3 I can think of that aren't Airwolf.
Oh, man.
So then we open on Stringfellow Honk at home in his nice little cabin, and Michael Archangel and his lady assistant are there. And they're like, he went down. I don't know her name. They never say it. She's the one who's the dog's always checking her junk out.
But so she's a lady who's an assistant.
Yeah.
She doesn't assist him with ladies.
No. Okay. And they're like, we got a call that he went down somewhere, blah, blah, blah. These are the coordinates. And so Stringfellow Hawk's going to go try and find him. And but they're like, watch out, there's a hurricane. So Stringfellow Hawk's flying Airwolf through the hurricane. And then I got a little sound clip here for you.
Sweet.
That I just thought this was delightful. Because they're like, you shouldn't fly in the hurricane. And they get in touch with him over the because the hurricane's getting really bad. And they're like, so where did you land? And he's like, or where are you hanging out? And he's like, 500 feet. And they're like, you're crazy. And then they this exchange goes on where he's, Michael Archangel is trying to tell him to land Airwolf and wait out the storm.
Set down immediately. That's an order. Do you hear?
You got to be kidding.
All right, it's not an order. It's a request. Make it a plea for sanity.
No, all three.
Yes, sir. That is fucking awesome. Yeah. That sounds like a sweet way to start an Iron Maiden song.
Totally. I'm making a plea for sanity. No, no to all
no
three.
No, to all three.
Specifically the sanity.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say sobriety? No to that, too.
And so I'm like, oh, the episode's going to be like, oh, he's got to find Dominic, and he's lost somewhere, and then he lands, he finds a helicopter on a beach, lands next to it, and then there's a bar there, and Dominic's just inside with five shots of alcohol in front of him and a beer. And I'm like, all right.
He and knew so, he knew Jan Michael Vincent was going to come by, yeah. And he was like, shit, I better load up the bar. This guy does not like.
And so yeah, and Stringfellow sits down and starts drinking with them.
Yeah,
and then some local Cubans come in with machine guns, and they're like, "You didn't save those guys." And they take them back to this house, and they're like, "You stole the money." And Ernest Borgnine's like, "No, they were my friends. Just before I was involved in a mission with them." It was like kind of a, like it turned out to be like a setup for the Bay of Pigs. Ooh. And I was like, oh, can they really throw like some interesting stuff in here that I'm kind of interested, like the espionage or, you know, historical
or like actual like historical.
Yeah. Yeah. Things of major significance. And I'm like, well, again, and but they're like, no, we don't believe you. And he's like, no, those men were my friends. They're some of the bravest men I've ever known. I'm trying to get them home, too. And then one woman's like, that's my dad out there and blah, blah, blah. And so then it just forever, it's just like they got to figure, oh, and they raised the $2 million by getting just all these poor people just chipped in and raised money. And it turns out that they only raised $1 million. And then the guy, the dad, the patriarch of this family is trying to get somebody back, borrowed another million from local gangsters. Mm-hmm. And so they're in trouble with that. I'm like, okay, that's a not bad setup too. But then it's just like, they find out that Michael Archangel has sold a bunch of arms to the guys who stole the money. Well, they don't know this yet, but sorry. So it's just, you know, the Cuban radicals with bazookas and stuff like that. And my Stringfellow Hawk finds out about it and just bribes Michael Archangel for $3 million to go get the hostages back. And this is basically all that happens. Then he's got the money and they go get the guys back and they make the Cuban radicals put their hands up. There's a couple of
at
things
which
that
point
now
they've learned their lesson and they're free to go.
Things that always happen in an episode of Airwolf are because they're like, oh shit, yeah, we got to do the helicopter stuff.
Yeah,
is that, well, the helicopter makes people put their hands up. Also, somebody always fires a bazooka or another jet or something will fire a missile at Airwolf, and you immediately go to missile cam. There's like it's a missile.
Yeah.
You're following the missile, and it's like a side shot of it. Like, look at this missile, and then you're like, you're the missile. Audience.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Chasing Airwolf, and the music though is pretty dope. But Airwolf does the same thing every time, like, you know, shoot the fire flares or whatever, and then the missile blows up, and then they another missile. It's always heat-seeking missiles. Chases Airwolf in circles, and then Airwolf flies past the either the person or the ship that launched it in the first place, and it blows them up.
Yeah. It's a good move.
It's a pretty good move. And I got to say, every time it happens, I'm like, yeah, missile cam!
I'm a missile!
Pretty good.
You've left me hanging, though, with those people that have their hands in the air, and I'm wondering whether or not they care.
They've been emasculated. Don't worry.
Well, they don't wave them.
Yeah. So they've saved the hostages. They bring them home. I don't know what happens with the money. I don't remember. This is a pretty boring episode. But what I did like was at the end is they're back at the bar. And Dominic and Stringfellow were sitting at the bar, and he's like, hey, Stringfellow, did I ever thank you for coming to find me in that hurricane? No, you didn't. Did I ever thank you for helping me get the money to save those guys? No, you didn't. Ah, well, three more rounds. I'm like, yep. That's what you need is three rounds of five shots each.
Yeah.
And then it's them, and he's like, what does he say? Something about the money, like the money that they've got, and they're like, "Well, you can't take it with you." And they're drinking booze, and then the next shot is Airwolf flying over the ocean. And I'm like,
"Are they?" drunk flying,
Airwolf, and then it's a freeze frame on it, like
who knows if they crashed? Yeah, I feel like Airwolf is such a sophisticated thing. I feel like it's probably got anti you press a button and it flies
blow
it
into
for
a hose
you
to start it.
Yeah, or it's just got autopilot. It's like I know the person that usually flies me. Is pretty
this
loaded.
Guy's usually hammered,
so it has like an auto thing. It's like let him believe he's flying me.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, this is 10 episodes I've watched now, and I feel like they really don't know what to do with a helicopter anymore.
Yeah, they're running out of helicopter-based crimes.
Yeah.
I feel like eventually there'll be a lot more plots where it's like, where's Airwolf? We gotta find it.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get to that. Also, like, I know things change as the show goes along. I don't know when it happens, but the studio thought the show was a little too espionage based and wanted it to be a little more central in action. So I think it starts to get more like less dialogue and all these moments that are making the show good for me where I'm like, wow, that was actually good writing or good performances or ideas. I think those are going to get milked out of this and I'm just going to wind up with like a, you know, pale A team because they ended up adding some characters and then they all have uniform. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm we'll not sure if that's in season two or three, but it's coming.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know.
Sweet.
That's Airwolf Corner.
Well, let's go straight from Airwolf Corner. Let's walk down the street to Cereal.
Okay,
I almost said Hereal.
Wait, is there even a solid name for that?
Cereal Hero Swap.
Every single time.
Is it?
I don't know. I feel like that's what we could call it.
Cereal
Hero Swap.
Breakfast Mascot Massacre.
Yeah,
breakfast
I like that.
Swapaker.
Yeah. So if you're listening for the first time, we spent the better part of the first year of See You Next Wednesday pitting action heroes against each other until we found a winner.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we've been doing that with cereal mascots.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's true.
That's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
We're grown-ups.
We're all adults.
Yeah.
So this week we got...
This week we have
Lucky Charms,
Lucky the Leprechaun from Lucky Charms and Sonny the Cuckoo Bird. He's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, Cocoa Puffs. That's what he's cuckoo for.
So we're going to roll the die and see what
Lucky he has
in terms of weapons.
Whoa. Six. What is the six?
Six is the chainsaw. Biggest weapon you can get, but it only works
sometimes. Working. Not always. Not always working.
And
then Sonny the Cuckoo Bird, the crazy guy, the...
Wild card
in this whole thing. What's he got? He's got nothing.
Oh, okay.
Except for his explosive behavior.
Yeah. That's what I remember most about those commercials was he was freaking out like a psycho junkie chasing these kids around for their cereal.
Then
he would get it and he'd eat some. Yeah! He or the cereal or the kids would explode.
I remember during Sweeps Week, it was all three.
Yeah, so
he didn't explode exactly.
But there was an explosion.
There was a big explosion, and then he would come floating down from the sky.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess...
In, like, a post-coital sort of calmness.
Yeah, yeah. like real satisfied and sleepy. Yeah, that's what would happen. He would... Oh, that's what it was. He would eat the Cocoa Puffs and have a giant orgasm that would propel him into the air.
Yeah, so if you don't know, he's just for a visual, he's kind of an orange bird.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's got kind of like a tuft of feathers on his head that kind of make that are all over the place, make him look kind of whacked out, kind of
crazy.
And his eyeballs have sort of like the rings around them, like an addict.
Yeah. He's definitely like him and the Trix Rabbit are definitely the most like crazy junkie like of all these characters, and I think he's really the out of control junkie one.
Yeah.
Who's Sonny? Was there Sonny?
He's Sonny.
He is Sonny?
Sonny the Cuckoo Bird.
Sonny the... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about the leprechaun.
The leprechaun, he's a... I don't know. He's a little leprechaun.
Yeah. What do
he's
you guys...
The one, now, he's a little different. He's the one who has the cereal, and he doesn't want the kids to have it.
Yeah. Much like the pretense of, like, the pot of gold, where the leprechaun has to hide his pot of gold or else people can steal it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but he is a very jovial character. I would argue a little bit more jovial looking than the cuckoo bird. He's keeping you from cereal, but he... Does he or does he lead them?
No,
he tries to keep.
Okay.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
And they always get them.
Yeah.
So he's terrible at keeping his cereal.
Well, I mean, that's to say about almost all. Like, I feel like all the commercials end with the kids eating, right? I feel
but this is the one where the mascot is like, don't eat this.
Yeah.
This is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Trix is just trying to get them. He wants to take it away
from the children.
But he's not telling
Tony the tiger wants you to eat it, you know.
Yeah. The leprechaun's like, this is how I make my money.
This is mine.
I live. This is my currency that you're eating.
That's my retirement cereal.
Yeah. All right. So they're in the Thunderdome. Who has the chainsaw?
Leprechaun has a chainsaw.
He's like, fuck you. You're not getting my Lucky Charms to this guy. Because he doesn't know what the cuckoo bird's all about.
And the cuckoo bird is
all about eating cereal.
Yeah. And he's crazy probably, and aggressive.
I think he's fucking real strung out at this point.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you think he's not going to be. If he hasn't been eating cereal for a while, he doesn't care if it's Cocoa Puffs. He sees Leprechaun.
He just needs some sugary. Even if it's got tiny, chalky little faux marshmallows that are not real marshmallows.
And he's like, I need that shit right
now. Yeah, he's just like, fuck it. Yeah, well, basically, like any other cereals, like methadone.
Yeah,
I was just going to say.
So, all right, so we got to roll to see if this chainsaw works,
right?
If
the chainsaw is going to work or not for this little leprechaun.
Okay. So, for this plucky little leprechaun.
Yeah. 1 through 3, it does not... 4 through 6, it does.
Oh, more of a chance it does. Gotcha. All right. It's working.
That thing works.
So Leprechaun's just fucking, he's got this thing going, and he's swinging it to keep him away.
Yeah, well, now this worries me. Because at the end of the day, no matter how tiny a leprechaun he is, he's lucid, right?
Yeah.
Like, he has all of his wits about him.
Yep.
And if we're presupposing that Sonny the Cuckoo Bird.
I don't know why that was the part that you stumbled upon. Cuckoo flyer.
But he's all strung out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hasn't had his Cocoa Puffs in a while.
Yeah.
So he's super strung out. He wants that cereal.
Uh-huh.
But he's not thinking clearly.
No, but that's true. Think that they're, like, because I think what you're leading into is that any lucid person with a chainsaw would be better versus the person who's strung out that's probably just going to dive at it.
Yeah.
But I also think there's something to be said about the craziness of the person that's strung out in terms of being wily and escaping
And I think we have a massive size difference here, too, between the leprechaun and the giant
cuckoo
bird.
Let's talk about the size difference between leprechaun and the chainsaw.
Yeah,
Does the chainsaw shrink down?
Yeah.
Well, we've always said the chainsaw
it's one
only
of two things here. Either he's got a full-size chainsaw and he's the size of, like, a coffee cup or whatever, which isn't going to work for him, or it's the tiniest chainsaw in the world, which then is less of a threat.
What do you guys think?
Let's roll.
All right.
Oh, all right.
1, 2, and 3, it's too big. 4, 5, and 6.
It's regular size. 4, 5, 6, it fits to the character.
It fits to his size.
Okay, right. So it's a tiny little...
Tiny.
Well, okay, if he's the size of a coffee cup, right?
Is that
what we're saying?
I think he's maybe more Smurf size. Three apples tall. Yeah. So this thing is probably
he's about like this.
Size of a butter knife.
He's about like this, Casey says on a podcast.
Well, I'm showing you guys, hoping that you would explain what this looks like.
But you just held your hand out.
Yeah.
To my knee.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't say my knee. He's just like this. Look how calm I am.
Yeah.
My fingers like aren't even moving.
He's not shaking at all. He's about 3 apples tall.
Yeah.
So then if the chainsaw fits to his size.
It's like the size of a butter
knife. It's about a dagger size.
Yeah.
So he's going to get, he could get some
damage
good
to be done.
Slicing
in
there.
The cuckoo bird, I would say then, is like the size of a man.
Yeah.
The cuckoo bird.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I think the cuckoo bird is coming over, and the size difference allows the leprechaun to maybe get a couple good slices in with this chainsaw. But I feel like the chainsaw is hitting the ground. I don't think he's going to use the chainsaw to win this.
I think what he needs to do, if he's smart with that chainsaw, like, okay, so he's very tiny. Sonny the Cuckoo Puffs bird. Cuckoo bird.
You fucking cannot say that.
Sonny the Cuckoo Cuckoo.
It's like me with every other word.
Cuckoo Puffs. Right. That's my Achilles heel, which is where I'm going with this. So he's got to hobble that bird.
Yeah.
I figure he's going for the Achilles tendon if he's going to do anything with that fucking
But he
isn't
a bird. He can still fly around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean,
but yeah, it's
gonna he's
hurt.
Going for
Screw
what he's
going
to go for.
Yeah.
Like he's got to do something.
Okay, so let's say he does that.
Yeah.
Wait, does the bird fly?
Huh?
He's a bird.
I see him fly. I see him explode.
I think he's a bird. I think he has that.
It's in the name.
Yeah.
What kind of bird? There are flightless birds.
This is true.
Unless you can prove that he is a flightless bird. I say he's able to fly. I feel like
he's flying.
Yeah. So let's say he gets his
like
Achilles heel, which causes...
Do you feel like that or you are?
Yeah. He gets the Achilles heel. Cuckoo Bird takes flight.
Okay.
I think he's up at the top, kind of regaining himself. He's kind of been sobered up a little by the fact that he just got sliced in the heel. And Leprechaun, I feel like we in their past matches, we only allowed
the chainsaw
to work for a bit.
Yeah.
So let's say the chainsaw falls, knocks itself out. No more chainsaw. Right. Bird's flying above him. I feel like the bird's going for a tactile swoop or... Coming down
like
on Leprechaun hard.
Right.
I think he sees this as an opportunity to maybe bomb him from the sky.
Right.
Yeah.
With his own weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, but he's still like he's in a mad junkie rage now. Like he's really freaking out. He needs something.
Yeah.
And the Leprechaun doesn't have any cereal on him.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to come down in a rage, kind of smashing up the poor little Leprechaun.
Yeah.
His body's going to be all broken now. And then he's going to pick him up and like rub him on his teeth like
like cocaine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Just smash him in there.
So he mashes. Like, keep in mind, by the way, that if this leprechaun is three apples tall...
The bird's got a really big beak.
That's true.
Yep. Yeah.
But you're saying he mashes... What is essentially about maybe, what, 3/4 of a foot?
I understand where you're going with this, but he could still, like, bash the leprechaun a few times, use... like his entire body for that. I mean, I don't imagine him coming like powdering the entire body.
Yeah.
Using it. Like he could just like do the action with a corpse.
Yeah.
Okay. So what he does is he dive bombs a leprechaun and like dive bombs his whole body into the leprechaun, crushing the leprechaun's bones.
Yes.
And now is the leprechaun dead at this point or does he further humiliate him by rubbing him on his gums?
I don't think he's dead yet.
Part two of that question.
So he's not
wrong with you.
All right, I'm going with this. He's not dead.
This is the reality of the situation.
He's been rubbed on the Cuckoo Puff's gums,
yeah,
a la cocaine. Even though he's just a mangled up corpse, not quite dead yet. Now, how does this end? I see no coming back for the leprechaun.
No, he's in bed.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
We're discussing what the final blow is going to be.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I think the final blow is him scraping against bird teeth. Do birds have teeth? Birds don't even have teeth.
I got it. So he uses the mangled corpse to get a little bit on his gums because he thinks he's using it like a drug addict.
Yeah.
Then he's got this leprechaun corpse. I say he delivers the death blow with his wing, just kind of like pounds it.
Okay.
Pops open the skull a bit.
Yeah.
A la a spoon, like kind of carves out a little spoon kind of utensil, and then goes to town on some Lucky Charms.
Oh, see,
inside him? The Lucky
using
Charms?
Him, yeah, like he's using his face as a spoon.
Just for my own satisfaction, so he caves his face in to use it, excuse me, like a spoon.
Yeah.
As you would.
Yeah.
But then can he perforate the stomach like down the middle here?
Oh, like,
and on
like
either
the little
side
boxes.
Here, like those tiny boxes.
Yeah.
Opens it up. But then I see
he's cuckoo.
The legit. Okay.
He's fucking cuckoo.
If he just created a spoon with this guy's face, why would he? Is he ripping the head off?
Yeah, he takes the head off.
He rips the head off.
With the spinal cord, much like Predator.
So okay.
Right.
Because for a second, I was not going to buy it.
Now that it's been laid out for me logistically.
Yeah. I love that because, he gets a little like...
Yeah, like he perforates the stomach, like
pops it open,
the
gets the guts out, pours in the cereal, rips out the head like a spoon with the spine as the handle, caved in face. Fucking goes to town on some Lucky Charms.
Mini
it's like Saturday
fucking...
morning in hell.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm surprised that he was full of Lucky Charms.
he takes it out in my mind and goes over to the pot of gold and pours them in.
Oh, okay. So he actually does go and get... So he uses the leprechaun as a bowl.
Yeah. Like a bowl and spoon.
Almost
well, he's
like...
so fucking crazy. He's like, I need to eat this now. Like, I can't just fucking eat it like a... animal with my paw, like, with my
that
wing.
Would be disgusting.
So
I have to rip out the entrails from this tiny leprechaun and fill him with magically delicious.
How am I
going to
eat
charms?
It? I'll crush his face with
use it like a spoon.
Absolutely.
Well,
That's how I would do
it. Yeah, you thought Greg was dark in that one.
Well, he is crazy.
Yeah,
I like how this ended.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'm satisfied.
A fitting end for a cuckoo
bird
mascot.
It's not the end of him.
I know, but a fitting finale for someone that
round too.
For someone that cuckoo.
All right,
I feel like he's going far with that kind of aggression.
If he's willing to turn your face into a spoon and your stomach into
just
a bowl,
just to get his fix.
Yeah,
yeah.
This guy's getting it done.
Our listeners are like, oh, my God.
All right. Next, this is a weird one. I don't even know how we will logistically discuss this one. Next week, it's the Raisin Bran son versus the Mini Wheats guy.
Awesome.
Oh, we did include the Mini Wheats guy.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Like the little Mini Wheat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So we're saying a giant gaseous flaming ball versus a tiny dry piece
easily
of wheat.
Burnable.
Who sings and dances?
He does sing and dance, and his back is candied.
Yeah.
So
I see in my, like, I'm not calling it, but I see a very slow death for the, I see a very slow, fiery death for this mini wheat.
I don't see it being slow at all. I see the sun getting within 150,000 miles
of
him.
I think he stays away just enough to start the burn.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if they're in Thunderdome, he's probably just going to poof up instantly. Anyway, we'll get to that next week. We'll get to the logistics of this.
I got theories.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
You can find us online at facebook.com/synwpc, or you can go to twitter.com and follow us there at synwpc. Mm-hmm. And above all, you can go to modernsuperior.com, read all of our articles, listen to new episodes of Faculty of Horror. We got Time Bandits coming out on Friday, talking about some good stuff. Monkey Shines is crazy. Gonna want to listen to that one.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Yeah.
Until next week, we will see you next Wednesday.
Did I leave it out? I did leave out the Triscuit biscuit thing, didn't I?
I don't know.
Let's all try it together. You want to try it with me?
I need the lyrics.
You need the lyrics?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you some lyrics.
How am I meant to remember it? I'm not Tom Hanks.
Not Tom Hanks.
I know. I can't believe he still can do it. Just like,
and he does it awesome too.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's Tom Hanks. He's the best.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the video of him doing that,
lyrics for you.
Go do that.
Here you
listeners.
Go.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just going to let Casey. I can't do
that
shit, man.
I don't remember the cadence.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on.
You ready?
No, I can't see. Okay.
Okay. The space goes down, down, baby. Down, down the roller coaster. Sweet, sweet, baby. Sweet, sweet. Don't let me go. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop. Shimmy, shimmy, rock. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop. Shimmy, shimmy, rock. I met a girlfriend, a Triscuit. She said, Triscuit, a biscuit.
Ice cream, soda pop, vanilla on the top.
Ooh, Shalita, walking down the street. 10 times a week. I meant it. I said it. I stole my mama's credit. I'm cool. I'm hot. Suck you in the stomach 3 more times.
3 more times. 3 more times.
3 more times. There we go.
Goodbye,
I feel better about that.
Internet.
There's a ghost in safe haven.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.